You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen His beauty and heard His word.
Because He's given Jesus Christ. knowing I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done.
Opportunity to celebrate, which we should do every day, your life, your resurrection. We are so appreciative of the sacrifice that you made for us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we have opportunity to do the same, to make that same sacrifice in our bodies, Father, to you. Being a living sacrifice for you, because you deserve the very best from us. Help us in our own flesh, God, to put off those things that are displeasing to you and to honor you, Father, because the gift that we have of your sacrifice will give us so much more. We realize that we are nothing without you, our hope, you are our joy. In us, we are not enough. You are enough for us, Father. You are more than enough. Thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for being so wonderful, so gracious, so kind, so willing in your own flesh at that time to go forward, knowing how agonizing it would be, but also knowing that it would be a glorious resurrection and that we will be resurrected in you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this resurrection. Thank you for your presence with us at all times, Father. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. We worship you, we honor you, we love you, Lord, because you are so worthy. We bless you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I worship you.
Share a little bit in my devotions this week. I seem to be in a lot of Old Testament, but I was thinking about the blood and something I had read some years ago about the impact of blood in the medical field from this doctor who was a missionary doctor. And he always related it back to God, even in his scientific mind. He always could see God in everything. And it was so amazing how important the blood is to us. And we think about now in this situation, they're looking at different ways to find a cure. But years ago, when there was a plague, they took basically the blood from people, like a piece of their dried skin or whatever that would hold that blood, and they would engraft it into the people who were still dealing with it. And these were the people that had been healed. And in this reading I was doing, the doctor said he could correlate that to the blood of Jesus, because we have the blood of Jesus. And Jesus knew how to defeat the enemy. So we have that same blood within us. We know how to defeat the enemy because we have him through the Holy Spirit living within us. So we have power in the blood of Jesus within us. And that, you know, that just really blessed my heart, because I was thinking this morning as a woman getting dressed, I was going to put on purple for royalty. And I thought about, no, because a lot of times we dress in purple for royalty, but are we talking about the royalty of Christ? Of our Lord and Savior? No, we're talking about our royalty. So I decided to put on red because it's body. He shed blood. What he did for us, the blood has not lost its power. The blood is eternal. It's coursing in our veins. Those of us who know the Lord, we have that blood. But we need to share that spirit of the blood, the power to enable us not to be afraid, to enable us to be conquerors, even in the midst of everything. Even though I was reading in Lamentations, and I'm going to read you a little bit of this, even in Lamentations in 3, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. We're not consumed. Because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion. according to the multitude of his mercy. Some of us are praying against this virus, and that's fine. That's where your heart is. But God knew what was going to happen. Mm. He had a purpose in it, and we don't want to hear that. He is the author of everything. So, you know, we pray when things are being difficult. But now everyone should be praying, because things have been truly difficult in this age, in the whole world at the same time. But it's the time to really look up and see, what am I about? I mean, this life is not forever, our physical life. But our eternal life with Christ is forever. And if this is what it takes to get some of us to where we need to be, so be it. God knows the purposes he has for each of our lives. You know, interestingly, we've had two people who have passed in this time, but neither one of them died because of the coronavirus. People are dying every day. But with those two people, we know their lives are in the hands of Christ because they were saved. We are all going to die one day. If this is what it takes to get those who are outside, who don't believe in a holy God, who don't believe in Christ, so be it. Because we all need to turn to the Lord, not just in times of calamity, but at all times. There's a phrase that's going around that says, I am enough. That's a lie. We are not enough. We cannot be anything without him. We need him in every situation. We need him to breathe, to live, to love, to be kind. It is not our nature to do those things. Temperament's the one thing, but the eternal, internal situation that we live in Christ, the Holy Spirit, enables us to be more than we could be of ourselves. And that is merciful. His mercy is showing through us. And we need to be aware and to share and to love and to be all that we can be at this time. So I just bless you all. You know, it's his mercies, his faithfulness. Those are things that we only can show, but his is everything. It's more than enough for us. The covering of his mercy, the covering of his faithfulness, it's eternal. And it's beautiful. God bless you.
Amen. 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 That's my wife, in whom I am well, well pleased. Amen. Amen. Just in case you all are joining us, we are actually on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network, and for the last 4 years, I've had the opportunity to host a broadcast every third Monday at 7 p.m. that's called Adoration. And because of the times that we're living in right now, I normally do that broadcast once a month. However, I felt like God was leading us into having a more immediate presence, and not to have to just separate messages each month. And so this is why we're doing this now, because I sat and God really ministered to my heart to say, you know, if we are the church, then every time we lift up the name of Jesus, we're in church. We are the living, and as the Bible calls it, the lively stones. And Jesus being the chief stone among us. And he's the foundational piece, if you understand architecture, that keeps the building alive, and not the building that we might go to on Sundays or Wednesday night Bible studies, but the organic house of worship. And so, you know, I encourage you guys, if you want to see more of us and hear more about what we're doing. There are two avenues that you can do that through. One is going to whenchristianspeaktalkradio.com, where you can find not just the broadcasts of Adoration, but you can also find other anointed and appointed ministers of the gospel that are sharing. But if you want to just check us out, you can go to adorationtalkradio.com and you can see every, or hear at least, every broadcast that we've done. And yes, also now see programming like we're doing right now, which I put on the website almost immediately. So for those of you, and I see you guys watching, forgive me if I don't just call out names, because we're really trying to keep this in the spirit of holiness, especially on this day that we are acknowledging the resurrected Jesus. And so I'm going to go ahead and shut up. And my wife is going to bless us. Now, mind you, we live in Guatemala. So oftentimes we'll do not just songs in English, but we'll do songs in Spanish too. And this is a song that really ministers to my wife. And it's really just talking about the gratitude of God and all that he is and how he has manifested that gratitude in each and every one of us. So pray for us as we do this, and God bless you. And behind that, we're going to talk just for a few minutes about living a resurrected life. I hope you all are ready, because God has poured something into me today and I got to get it out. So here we go. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Para siempre, la pasión.
bless you. So let me start off by, first of all, saying something that I'm sure that you've heard over the past few weeks from the Christian community as it relates to the COVID-19 and the pestilences, as the Bible would call it. But in that, we've definitely heard 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive sin and heal their land. We've been inundated with that scripture. Another one that pops into my head immediately is that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it's kind of in that direction that I want to talk about this thing that we're calling a resurrected life. Honestly, my beloved, we have gotten news account after news account after news account of all the tragic situations that have come about because of a pestilence that we can't see with the natural eye. And it always makes me think about scriptures that deal with understanding that we don't wrestle against this flesh, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And part of that is subjecting ourselves constantly, hour after hour after hour, to the different accounts of what's happening as far as people being hospitalized and people perishing. And of course, in the media, there are so few commentaries related to the miraculous recoveries of many more people who have lived through this than those who have died. And yet, we want to be sensitive to the families of those who have lost loved ones, because that is real. And that is something that we can't just gloss over with statistics and even with scriptures, to be honest with you, because real lives are being lost in the midst of this. And so for me being able to speak about things being in power, I understand that there are families now that can't even say goodbye properly to their loved ones because we can't congregate more than 10 at a time. And so everything, including what we're doing now, ends up being virtual. And that's really sad. But on this day, this resurrection day, we celebrate those things which are alive. And the reason that we celebrate is because we have a risen Savior. His name is Jesus. And because of Jesus, we too have a hope in glory. And we can't lose sight of that in the midst of the present pestilence. Because this too is, as the Bible would say, just the beginning of sorrows. So we're not even in deep yet. So this is a precursor to those things that are to come. And with the evangelical heart that God has given me, this whole moment has become one of the most exciting moments in the midst of all the pain. It has become one of the most exciting moments to be alive. And every day that we open up our eyes, God is saying that
The work is not finished in us yet. And he's encouraging us, even through the pestilence that we call COVID-19, to still look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Because our help only comes from him. I haven't even gotten to the real text yet, but God is just leading me to just encourage everyone that we can't just sit there and just rely on the news and to rely on science to dictate our future, because that future was created by God. Look, if you really understand things the way that I do, you would understand that the same God who can heal, it's the same God who allowed the COVID-19 to exist in the first place. No devil in hell can access us except by permission of God. So the question really becomes, why would God allow a pestilence right now to enter into the atmosphere? And what is the message that he is trying to get across to his people? If we were to focus on those kind of things, the things that go beyond our intelligence, the things that go beyond what we can conceive and perceive, and revel in the wonderment and the mystery of our Creator, he doesn't owe us an explanation for anything. We owe him, as my wife just sang, a debt of gratitude for the life that we have lived, for those who have been a part of that life. And as I have stated in previous weeks, if you want to see this pestilence eradicated, I'm going to give you the formula right now. It's the same formula in which we enter into salvation. The first key word is repent. And that repentance is not a repentance to human beings, but it's a repentance to our God in heaven for, you know, for the fact that day after day, as he blesses us over and over and over again, we still continue to fall short of the glory of him whom created us. This is not rocket science, my beloved. This is just God's way of getting our attention. And for one of the few times that I can recall, he hasn't just touched one geographical area, not two, not three geographical areas. He has literally stopped the world in his tracks to make the world consider him. You got to get this message. If we're going to be talking about resurrection, we need to understand what resurrection is. That means that in order to have a resurrection, that means that there has to be a reliving, a new life, something else that comes out of death. And death is nothing that we should be afraid of. And I would challenge you to consider, if you really got down into the muck and mire of your feelings, you would think that, oh my gosh, I am really afraid of COVID-19 because I'm afraid of death. And I'm also afraid of my loved ones who could die. But if you understand the ways of God, death is not a permanent thing, because out of it comes a transformation. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. And so just as we believe that COVID-19 will eventually go away, and they will probably come up with something in medical science that says that we can now cure this, I won't get into that now. But really, things as we know it will never be the same. And as a friend of mine shared, I don't want to go back to normal. Because what was normal was corrupt and was anti-Christ. What I want to have is a newness, a regeneration, a rebirth, a reformation in our lives, in which we acknowledge God in spirit and in truth the way he has wanted us to do since he created us in the garden. And so I just want to, for a moment, lift up one passage of scripture. I had a whole bunch of them, and then God got me into the secret place of the Most High, where I can now abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the Psalm 91, right? I was there this morning, and he literally spoke to my heart and said, "Hey, Matt, condense this." And so I'm going to be coming out of the book of Luke, chapter 20, and I'm going to lift up a few verses here, but the main focus is going to be on verses 27 through 38. And just to give you a setup, we really find that Jesus is in the teaching and sharing mode, and he is in the midst of unbelievers. And unfortunately, among the unbelievers are the very church of his day, which would have come out of the synagogue, and all the leadership that encompassed the synagogue. And they were consistently trying to challenge him, in some cases even plotting his death, and in some other cases putting out scenarios to try to trick Jesus into responding with incorrect answers. Into this, when we get to verse 27, he is dealing with a particular sect of the Jewish leadership, which are the Sadducees. And to not be long-winded with this, the Sadducees, part of their belief system was that they had no belief whatsoever in resurrection. And that is really foundational in what we're talking about, because people who don't believe, if you really query them, you will find out that they have no time or patience to deal with anything regarding resurrection. And so into this, I'm going to start reading, and bear with me. It's a few scriptures that we really want to touch on. So starting in Luke 20 at verse 27, "Then came to him," that him being Jesus, "certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, 'Master, Moses wrote unto us,'" and I want to make this plain. So when Moses is being referenced here, you might as well insert the law, because Moses is the entrance way of the law to the people. And so they say, Moses wrote unto us, "If any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother." Now, know that there was custom in that day that if one would die, then another brother would come into place to then marry the widow, and so on and so on and so on, as we are going to talk about here. So then in verse 29, "There were therefore seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. The second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner, the seven also. So in other words, not just the third, but then all the rest of them, all the remaining brothers, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. So everybody in our little story here has now died. Verse 33, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Trick question. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Verse 36, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God. Can I read that part again? Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God. Then, being the children of the resurrection. I know we don't talk about it that often. We always talk about being a children of God and, you know, being the king's kid and all those kind of churchisms that we have. But my God, how many times have you been greeted or even related to someone else that I'm a child of the resurrection? Oh my God, and the power that comes with that. Listen, in verse 37, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we want to really focus in on that verse because that particular verse has a lot of power in it. Lastly, verse 38. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. That is God's word for God's people. And so you might be saying, hey, Mac, so what are you trying to say? It's not so much of what I'm trying to say. It's about what God is saying. And interesting enough, wouldn't he use the physician Luke to be the bearer of this message? So for those that are relying on science, understand this, there is nothing wrong with science. Science has done great things for our community, for our world. But even the scientist who only relies on the intellectual processes that he or she has obtained, they are missing the point, and the real message is that the real revelation can only come from that which has created us. And until we can have that kind of mind, we have to understand that there is a whole other wilderness beyond our intellect. And the moment that we understand that and escape from the prism of the intellectualism of our world and run into the wonderment of the unknown, which is where God dwells, then you will understand not only the raising of Jesus from the dead of his own self, but you will understand that we who believe never really die, but we transform into a new life that is so much, or will be so much better than the life that we are living right now. Work with me for a moment, my beloved, because this is important stuff in moments where literally people are crying over loved ones who have died. The real tears should come if that loved one was not saved and had a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where the tears should come from, no matter whether it's from COVID-19, no matter whether it's from cancer, no matter what the cause of natural death comes from. We don't worry about that, because if we understand who we are and how we were made, this flesh is nothing. It's only the temporary casing which holds in the true realness of who we are. And when we die physically, the story is not over. And I'm going to prove this going back to verse 37. And catch it if you can. It says, now that the dead are raised, listen to that, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush. Now we know that was in the book of Exodus with the bush that was burning but never was consumed. Right there is a message that we ought to get excited about now, because we should understand that we are literally living, walking examples of that same bush, because no matter what, the fire of the Holy Spirit allows us never to be diminished. Don't you get it? God literally gave Moses a reflection of who we really are, because that's why Moses could look unto God, because for the first time, his eyes were like God's eyes. He could see through that bush that was not consumed. Okay, I'm getting excited. So I need her to kind of reel me in sometimes. Okay, so listen to this. So now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham. In other words, this is what he's saying. He referenced God as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, today, we don't have to go through that lineage, because we got the name Jesus. That name is the only reference we need. And when we repent and we call upon that name Jesus, we're going to get to the same place that was happening with Moses before the new covenant. So what am I trying to say here? Moses did not refer to Abraham or Isaac or Jacob in the past tense. He referred to God being the God of Abraham as though he's still alive. Likewise, to Isaac, he's referring to Isaac as still being alive and God being his God of a much alive Isaac. And lastly, to Jacob being alive, that he's the God of, not the God who was the God of, but he's the God of Jacob, of Isaac, of Abraham. He's our God. And so if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you can call those three foundational pieces of the old covenant. What more are we who are alive today experiencing the new covenant, where all the law of the past has been fulfilled through Jesus. And now here we are. And in fact, can I put a little twirl on this? And I shared this with Myra just the other day. How great is it that all these Bible heroes and sheroes never lived to see the day that we're in now? And so if we were put in this earth to experience a time such as this, how much more special does God see us to be able to endure the hell that's about to break loose? Let that marinate for a moment, because we need to understand whose we are and who we are in Him. To know that when Jesus rose on the third day, it gave us the hope of glory, that just like Him, because we are fashioned and formed into His image, that we as well live a life of resurrection. I'm almost done. Beloved, understand this. We have a beginning date, and unless the great taking away, the rapture as it's referred to, unless that come, we're going to have an expiration date as well. And so what matters as far as the natural is what we do between birth and between the time that this flesh dies. We are soul, body, and spirit. So because one part of that component dies, does that mean we're all the way dead? Heaven forbid, no. So just for a point of comfort to those who have lost loved ones naturally, understand, we don't need to keep crying for those who aren't really dead. If they had Jesus Christ in their lives. I know it's a lot to sink in. I know that there are natural emotions that come through missing the physical presence. I lost my father 5 years ago, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't consider him in something, that I don't see him in movies that we watch. I mean, we watched a movie last night, and literally I had a moment where I was with my father in the hospital before he died. I'm telling you, that's real and it's relevant, and I'm not trying to take away from that, but we cannot stay in constant depression for people who have received Jesus Christ. And if we understand it the way that God is sharing with us in this, that if we lose loved ones to physical death, know that if they are believers, they yet live. God creates in us a new celestial body that I can't tell you what it looks like. I don't care what it looks like. I just want to have it. And I want to have everything in a new situation where I'm not sinning against Him, where I'm not challenging Him, where I'm totally obedient to His word. That is a resurrected life. You can have that resurrected life today. With these Sadducees, they were trying to trip Jesus up with the scenario of this family and these brothers who were taking on this widow. And what they were literally doing is just taking things from a natural perspective and trying to get some kind of intellectual justification on whose wife is she. And Jesus is saying that is not even relevant. I can't make this stuff up, guys. This is the scriptures. This is not me. This is the scriptures that are literally speaking to us. And what the scriptures are saying is that when Jesus was raised from the dead, we too are risen with him. As much as I like to focus on things about, you know, when we accept Jesus and we say that we follow Jesus, we must deny self, pick up our cross and follow him. Those things are true. And I don't want to just focus on those things, because those things are reliant on tragedy, are reliant on pain, are reliant on having to suffer. Yes, we suffer with him, but we also reign with him in glory. We share the leadership with Jesus Christ. We have to understand who we belong to. I'm sorry, I just can't let it go, because I'm tired of seeing people walking around looking so defeated and they say that they're Christians. I understand the world doing that. They don't know, but we're supposed to know better. We're supposed to know that we can tread upon serpents and scorpions. If we can do that, why are we worrying about a COVID-19? Help me. I'm trying to let it go. I'm trying to let it go. Look, let me slow this roll down. Look here, guys. We don't celebrate just his resurrection. Mm-hmm. Today is really a day that we rejoice because we have the same opportunity. Not just physical death. Our bodies will go ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's a given. But the new us with body, but a celestial body, with a body that is the real us, with a soul and with a spirit, keeping those three components intact. That's what we have the promise of. Anything else, if you guys are excited about new cars, new houses, money, and material stuff, I'm sorry, I rebuke that. Because let me tell you something. A friend of mine gave me this scenario. Listen to this. If you're walking down the street and you find $20 on the sidewalk, are you being blessed by God? Be honest. So what if I came in and told you, well, what if that $20 was actually planted there by Satan? Is that a blessing of God? We have to look at the whole picture. You know, what do we even do with the $20? Do we share it and clothe and feed those who are hungry and naked? Or do we just go out and get a three-piece wing with fried rice at our local restaurant? What are we doing? You know, what are we doing? You know, so we have to be careful about these things that we obtain naturally, because those things are temporal. In other words, I'm sorry, I'd be using the old English. Those things will decay and fade away. The value of money itself can change based upon a decision of one person. So understand that if we put our confidence in the stuff that we have, we're not really understanding the things of God. So what did God give us? Well, first of all, since we want to talk about the cross, when Jesus was crucified, an amazing thing happened, because we picture it. The veil was torn, and the access that we were denied because of the old covenant rules and regulations, that veil that separated even the high priest from the presence of God was torn. And the blood of Jesus allowed us to have access to our Father. We need to understand that the same access that they had standing around Golgotha Hill is the same access that we have today through Jesus. And it's only by that name that we are saved. And when we repent and we turn away from wickedness, that's when we then walk in salvation. And understand this: salvation is not the same as resurrection. Salvation is the beginning of allowing us to be resurrected, in that when we die physically, we are no longer just dead, but we go into a newness of life with Him who created us, and Jesus, who is on the right hand. If you don't get anything out of this today, COVID-19 serves a purpose. Honestly, and I know this is going to sound controversial, I don't pray for it to go away. I pray that God's will be done. Whatever this is here for, however long it remains, beloved, know that no COVID-19, no other pestilence, no other wars and rumors of wars can have dominion over us unless we allow it to come in. Today is a wonderful opportunity, on a day in which we're only speaking about life and speaking about things that have risen, and especially the one who has risen. Let the glory of our Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. If you're listening, and I've seen a lot of you guys, sorry, I can't respond. I'm just so caught up in the message God has just been dealing with me. There's so many messages. We're going to be doing these Sunday services until God says enough is enough. Because he's pouring out. I haven't even gotten to the first percent of what he's been sharing with me. But this is what I need to leave you with. If you are out of relationship with our Savior, today is the best day as we acknowledge his resurrection. Amen. Do you know that when Jesus rose, that I believe, if my memory is serving correctly, he spent another 50 days on the earth. I think it was 50 days. And because even when he rose, he did not even have the same appearance. Did you ever think about that? So even who we are right now, and this is my beautiful, this is my boo. But even with us, we won't look the same. We can't. We don't want to go back to what was normal. We want to be transformed. And that same transformation that we want is what we also want for you. That you don't have to be caught up in the fear that the media puts out. You can be resurrected right now. You can enjoy the benefits of membership into the kingdom of God. There is no failure in God, and there is no fear in love. Amen. Let love have her perfect work. And we know that love covers a multitude of sin. So let God's love today cover us, that we may not just live naturally, because if I died today, I have lived what is truly called a victorious life. Mm-hmm. I've got the victory. I got it. I'm sorry. If that's being arrogant, then let me be arrogant. I got it. Because anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Those things which were old are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we want you to be new today. And if you are in need of that precious salvation, I challenge you, read the book of Acts chapter 2 in its entirety, but pick up the main message, which is to repent and to call on the name of Jesus. And just like it did in the days of old, watch the church, the real church, the organic church, not the building, not membership, not being on a church roster, but the real roster of spiritual, foundational Christians would be added to each and every day. Mm-hmm. And even for the saint who has gotten discouraged, who has opted to live in fear, come on back, we're safe. There is no fear in love. I can't say that enough. There is no fear in love. We have power, love, and a sound mind, which means that a sound mind is beyond even common sense, because common sense only relates to that which is natural. But God's sense and having the mind of Jesus Christ is having an organic, an infinite access to God's wisdom. We're going to close out, and we pray that you receive Jesus today, and that for those who have turned away, come on back home. Come on, come on. Because it's a beautiful, beautiful experience to be kind of like the prodigal son and come back to a ring, a robe, and the shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace, where the fatted calf is just laid out and the spread is there and there's a party going on, because you have made it back home. We love you. Myra, as we wrap up, anything you want to end off on?
I'm just blessed to be able to even hear the message, because the word of God is always, it's like honey. It gives us the nutrition that we need. Because sometimes we get lax and we get lazy. But when you eat honey, it brings a sparkle to your eye. It makes your heart beat in a way that it hadn't been beating before. And that's what the word does for me, and that's what the word is doing, should be doing. It should always give us a new vision, a new vigor, a new excitement. And I'm just so thankful that I have, we have, you all have access to the word of God. And we're very blessed in this country. We can turn it on the radio. We don't want to read it. We can listen to it. It's always available. So take some time away from the news, away from movies, away from games, and spend time just thanking Him for who He is and how important He is to your life and to the life of your children and your friends and your family. Communicate that love just by calling someone and just letting them know that you're thinking of them. Everyone doesn't have to be a Bible scholar to show forth the love of Christ. But but let him use you in whatever way that he sees fit to use you. And let him be glorified in your life and the life of others as you pray for them. I am thankful for my dear husband, what he brings to my life. And that's what every husband should bring to his wife's life. Someone may say, I'm old school, but no, this is the way it should be. The man should be the one that teaches his wife, shows her the way, encourages her, all for the sake of Christ. Because she is the one, we have children, will be the one that will be the greatest influence in her nurturing of those children. It's all about family. You know, we're the bride of Christ. The man is the bride, the wife is the bride. We're all the bride of Christ. And we should be that example of his love in our marriages, in our relationships with our husband, in our relationship with our wives. So I'm so thankful that in this day, in this time, God is teaching me through my husband a lot of things that I needed to learn. And I'm so thankful because I love the Lord so much that I'm willing to listen to my husband and know that God is using him to encourage me to be more than I can be of my own self. And in my own way, I'm encouraging him. So I just thank God for how he's using us in this time, in this age, on this earth. It's not over yet. There's so much more that needs to be done. But it is so beautiful to be in relationship with the Most High God and to know that his ways are good, that God is perfect in everything that he does.
Say we love you. In Jesus' name.